Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
In case you're wondering where they're going, all you've got to do is listen, and they'll tell you our future. Just believe that. Hillary Clinton laid it out pretty clearly yesterday on MSNBC. Criminal charges for what she calls misinformation.
There are Americans who are engaged in this kind of propaganda, and whether they should be civilly or even in some cases criminally charged is something that would be a better deterrence.
Huh. I wonder what the criminal sentence for making up the Russia collusion hoax would be, because Hillary's campaign made that up. They actually paid for the creation of the, now it turns out to be fake, Steele dossier it was all based on. Now, before they could do away with the First Amendment entirely and go to criminal charges for speech they don't like, they'd have to do away with the Supreme Court. But again, if you're listening to what they say, that's exactly what Chuck Schumer, Democrat leader in the Senate, promised to do if she's elected just 2 weeks ago. And they get a Democrat House and Senate. Getting a Democrat House, Senate, and presidency is something that happens about once a decade, occasionally twice in America. But it's going to be different this time, because the next time it happens, it will spell doom for the American form of Republican government, for the Constitution, and most especially for the Bill of Rights. They couldn't be clearer about it. Kamala Harris herself has said so in the past, when she said that Donald Trump shouldn't be allowed to have a Twitter account.
He has lost his privileges, and it should be taken down. And the bottom line is that you can't say that you have one rule for Facebook and you have a different rule for Twitter. The same rule has to apply, which is that there has to be a responsibility that is placed on these social media sites to understand their power. They are directly speaking to millions and millions of people without any level of oversight or regulation. And that has to stop.
It's no coincidence of any kind that the same 24-hour period in which Hillary Clinton came out and announced that the Democrat Party intends to end the First Amendment, Mark Cuban came out and announced he was in the market to buy X and Fox News, which is weird because neither of those are for sale. In fact, Elon Musk just announced that he plans to launch XTV to take on YouTube. In other words, he doesn't seem to have a plan to sell X to Mark Cuban. So why would Cuban say this? Because Cuban knows both of those platforms will likely be for sale if Kamala Harris wins. Not by their own choice. No, because of the TikTok bill. Buried in the TikTok bill, which was really a get rid of Twitter bill, are sections that say a couple of things. If foreign nationals own these platforms, that'd be China. Yes, but think about it. It would also be Elon Musk. He was born in South Africa. He has citizenship there. And they allow disinformation campaigns by our enemies, which are specifically named as China or Russia, on their platforms, either knowingly or unknowingly, the president can force the sale of that platform to a new owner. Well, that applies to TikTok, but it also applies to Twitter. In fact, it applies to any website or digital platform. So go ahead and put Fox News on that list. Cuban, who is not just a billionaire, he's also a surrogate for the Kamala Harris campaign, does interviews on her behalf all the time since Her Highness surely isn't going to do them. He knows this. There's no way he doesn't know this. And you know how the president can do this? All they've got to do is find in a secret report, not even public, secret report, that these websites, these outlets traffic in disinformation for foreign enemies, and then present that report to Congress. Again, it'll be classified, so the American people won't even see it. The president can then, after doing that and taking those steps, force the sale of those websites. So Cuban may just get to buy X and Fox News before too long, and I'm sure it'll be a fireside sale after they put Elon Musk in jail. Folks, this is an America you don't recognize. What they're saying is it's time for silence so we can have our democracy. Notice they don't say your democracy. It's always our democracy because it ain't yours. It's theirs. Folks, what are we seeing in the aftermath of this incredible second Trump assassination attempt? More violent Democrat rhetoric or Democrat rhetoric justifying violence. Why? Because they think it's justified. In fact, a day is rapidly approaching where they'll openly call for violence against us and our candidates. They're almost there, but not quite. They've got to get the censorship in place, and she's got to win for that to happen. Then it'll be open season. But right now, it's barely contained, as was exemplified overnight again by Hillary Clinton, who didn't even wait 24 hours after the second Trump assassination attempt to say this on MSNBC.
I don't understand why it's so difficult for the press to have a consistent narrative about how dangerous Trump is.
Democrat Congressman Jake Auchincloss couldn't have been clearer. In case there are any mentally ill assassins out there having doubts about where the Democrat Party stands, what unifies them as a party is...
And what unifies us as a party is knowing that Donald Trump is an existential threat to democracy. And
worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Meanwhile, the news broke that that existential threat to democracy, Donald Trump, may not make it to Election Day at this rate. Yeah, they left the area around the Trump golf course unsecure for the full 12 hours the assassin laid in wait. 12 hours. Take a listen to acting director Ron Rowe, who's also a felony level perjurer. He's lied to Congress multiple times, so who knows if any of this is even true. Try to explain how that happened.
How many times did your agents go around the perimeter and scope out the golf course during the 12 hours that this guy was holed up in shrubbery?
So this was an off the record movement. It wasn't a site that was on his scheduled, it wasn't part of his schedule. So there was no posting up of it because he wasn't supposed to have gone there in the first place.
Now, several Secret Service agents have been on Fox News to explain that's actually typical. A lot of times they won't do the scan of the area if they go somewhere impromptu, like they're heading down the highway and they suddenly pull off to a restaurant. Not only was it not on the schedule, they weren't intending to go there. They figure the bad guys don't know. So, yeah, what acting Secret Service Director Ron Rowe is saying here is true, but this case doesn't fit that bill, as Senator Josh Hawley explains. because this wasn't some random restaurant Trump had never stopped by before. It's his home.
Listen, I mean, Donald Trump plays golf frequently. He has been to this course frequently. It adjoins his residence. It's not as if they parachuted him in somewhere where they'd never been before. Clearly, the shooter, the would-be assassin, thought he might well be there, and he was able to camp out for 12 hours and have nobody come up to him. I have to tell you, Bill, this is a lot like Crooks, the other assassin back in Butler, who was able to get on that roof, able to take a line of sight and ultimately take shots, and nobody did anything until he started shooting the president. I mean, really, this is totally unacceptable.
We've got to get some answers, Hawley said. And that's the thing. If the FBI and the Secret Service succeed in their bid in Florida to take control of the criminal investigation here, we aren't going to get any answers. We still don't even know who the lead agent was in Butler. We don't know who the agents on the ground were in Butler. And the only way that Congress has been able to figure out even part of what went on there is through whistleblowers. That's how tightly the FBI has it locked down. And unfortunately, they've confiscated all the evidence, which is what they're trying to do in Florida. Swoop in, claim jurisdiction, take the evidence, and disappear it for months, just like they did after Butler. And I hate to say it, perhaps even buying the Secret Service time to allow a third assassination. The weight I was back in 2022, it's at 158 pounds. That's unfathomable to me now. But you know what it means? I forgot I lost the first 7 pounds on my own before I lost 29 more on PhD weight loss. And that triggered so many memories of me. You know how many times I lost that 10 pounds? I was like, yeah, 158. And I would go down and come up and go down. I can't tell you. I probably lost 40 or 50 pounds, 10 pounds at a time, putting it back on. And that's why I quit trying to lose weight. I accepted that I'd always be fat and set the goal that I was never going over 160. And I pretty much managed that. But the idea of taking the rest off, impossible. Maintaining it, I'd never managed 10-pound maintenance before. Well, I did it. I took 29 more pounds off, and I've been a size 6 for 19 months now. I would have thought that was impossible before PhD weight loss, but I've done it. What if you could do it? Find out more. Go to myphdweightloss.com. Tell them Tara sent you. You could do it from any state in the nation. Myphdweightloss.com. Now back to the podcast. Incredibly, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis all but said it. They want to investigate this because we can no longer trust the federal government to do it. Folks, this is earth-shattering stuff. We've never seen this before, where states can't trust the chief crime agency in our country because they are just too profoundly corrupt and have too long a history of lying to the American people in an attempt to end the political career of Donald Trump. Here's Ron DeSantis arguing Florida should be in charge because America can't trust the DOJ or the FBI. Folks, we've never seen this before. Think about this. Every other crime drama on TV for the last 30 years has started the FBI because everybody loved them. Now, you can't even let them investigate a presidential assassination because they might be involved in the cover-up of the last one.
The state of Florida has jurisdiction over the most serious, straightforward offense, which is attempted murder. In my judgment, it's not in the best interest of our state or our nation to have the same federal agencies that are seeking to prosecute Donald Trump leading this investigation, especially when the most serious, straightforward offense constitutes a violation of state law, but not federal law. In addition to holding the suspect accountable, the public deserves to know the truth about how this assassination came to be.
And they might not ever know if the FBI is allowed to take jurisdiction here. Folks, Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody, who he turned this investigation over to, was more blunt than that. Folks, what she's describing here is a constitutional crisis, not just a turf war over who will investigate this. Here's Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody. Bottom line, she's saying the FBI and Department of Justice and the Secret Service are simply too corrupt to do it.
But the folks need to remember that the person overseeing DOJ and FBI, the investigating agency, is the President of the United States, Biden, and Kamala Harris. And I think the country needs right now an understanding, a belief, a trust that this is going to be looked at closely and that those that are leading it will provide accountability and transparency to the people. We are a government of the people, after all. And President Biden, look, this is the same man that days before the first assassination attempt said that Trump needed to be put in a bullseye. And then a mere 39 days after that first attempt, he stood up at the DNC conference and said the threat is still very much alive. And then 25 days later, we saw a second attempt. Now, that is the man overseeing the investigating agency, the FBI, and the DOJ, which would be the prosecutors. And again, remember, these are the same prosecutors, the same jurisdiction that is trying to put Trump away for the rest of his life. In that same jurisdiction. So for the good of the country, it's important that folks know that Florida is going to look at Florida charges. We're going to look at the evidence because, of course, this is a Floridian. Donald Trump is a Floridian. And there was an assassination attempt on his life in Florida. So at best, you're seeing from this government and President Biden weak, ineffectual, inept leadership. Of course, when he was asked about this, how this could happen again, his response is, I don't know, Secret Service needs more resources. Congress should give it to them. That's not leadership. In Florida, we demonstrate leadership. You take charge, you focus, you tell the people what they need to know. They need to know their government is working on their behalf. And at worst, this is an administration who has said some terrible things in terms of this president and its safety. And we're seeing the results of that.
Want to hear one of those? It just resurfaced again this week. It's Kamala Harris. As you on Ellen DeGeneres, as you hear this, imagine if Trump or any Republican dared to say anything like this. It's almost unfathomable.
If you had to be stuck in an elevator with either President Trump, Mike Pence, or Jeff Sessions, who would it be?
Does one of us have to come out alive?
Two assassination attempts later, that sure sounds different, doesn't it? Now, contrast that with the one line the Democrats have been obsessed with for over 3 years. The line in which Trump told his supporters to proceed to the Capitol on January 6th. Just listen to the contrast. Back when he was alive, Rush Limbaugh pointed out, you couldn't find this clip anywhere in the mainstream media, and you won't, because it's not appalling.
I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard. Today we will see whether Republicans stand strong for integrity of our elections, but whether or not they stand strong for our country.
Oh, and one more thing. This just broke on Fox News. Even though he hasn't lived in North Carolina for years, gotta know this. As you hear this clip, remember the Democrats telling us there's no election fraud.
Arrested over 100 times in North Carolina. Also hear reports that he voted in North Carolina, yet he's a resident in Hawaii, and I don't think felons should vote. That's just me.
Yep, it appears Ryan Ruth voted in North Carolina in 2024, a state he hasn't lived in years. That's a little scary, because North Carolina is a swing state. If Kamala Harris wins it, she'll be the next president. And Ryan Roth voted there as recently as this year? That's not a good sign, folks.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.